We have Julie Signorelli here with us today. I am so excited. She has been such an inspiration to me. Her husband, Pastor Mike Signorelli, they're pastors of the V1 Church in New York. They were my intern pastors, so we have a lot of history, and I'm just so excited for them to be able to share their story with you today. So thank you so much, Julie, for joining me today.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. I'm super proud of you. I'm actually doing this interview on what we call the Long Island Expressway, which is crazy. So if you hear me yell out a random Christian cuss word, I might be yelling at my kids in the middle of this. I do love the Lord and I'm a work in progress.
That's awesome. So, like I said, you and Mike are pastors now of V1 Church in New York, and you were kind of intern pastors and basically everything pastors here, and, you know, you kind of did it all. And, like, I know, you know, you both have kind of had, like, just, like, a process and a journey with, like, your faith and all that, but let's kind of start from the beginning and, like, how did you actually, you know, come to know Christ? What was your journey kind of like?
Yeah, well, I was really... really fortunate because my parents raised me up in church. So God, Jesus, being a Christian, that has been a part of my whole life. You know, whether I walked in that or not, I've been fortunate that I was around it. Mm-hmm. So to say where it started, like literally birth for sure. I think I was born on a Friday and in church on a Sunday. Like my mom didn't mess around. And we went to church 3 times a week for our whole life, you know, so that's been a very regular part. When I remember asking the Lord into my life as a little kid with my mom at bedtime one day and not really fully knowing what that meant, but it never became real to me until I was probably in middle school and I was at church camp and just had an encounter with God. And that's just Christianese for I felt like I was at a crossroads, you know? Yeah. And that's when my relationship with the Lord became something personal. Mm. And I've been serving him ever since.
That's awesome. So fast forward to, you know, like you said, you kind of always been saved, and then you and Pastor Mike got married, and was he saved at the time that you guys met? I forget.
Yeah, okay, so he was coming out of, we met in college, so he was coming out of a time in his life where he really questioned God, and he would describe that as like an atheistic, agnostic type journey for him, and he talks a lot about that in his sermons, and he was coming out of that at that time. So in my mind, he was this like diehard Christian, you know, because he had grown up, we had very similar, we grew up in small Pentecostal churches our whole lives, so we had very similar backgrounds, but he had went away to school. And so when we initially met, he had just kind of reconciled his relationship with the Lord. So I didn't really understand all of that at that time. But he was a believer for sure, but he was like an old new believer, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And so you guys kind of started your marriage journey in ministry together, right?
We did. Yeah. So he was, when he was like very young, he started preaching, and then when he went to college, that's when he went on a journey to pretty much question everything. Mm-hmm. And that's his story. I'll let him tell. I'm sure he's probably already told that a million times. So he went on that journey, and then we got married, and then he was like coming back into that, and then we became youth pastors at our church. So we basically started our engagement being in ministry together, which probably was the wisest thing in the world. And then ever since, until we kind of hit a crisis, which we'll probably talk more about, and, you know, took a break, and then now we're back in ministry full time. So yeah, we were ministry, our relationship only new ministry, really.
Yeah.
At the beginning, for yeah. sure.
So when you came in, like I said, when you came into marriage, you were in a relationship with this God-fearing man, this man who was, you know, kind of pastoring at the time and doing all the things. And then why don't you tell us about, you know, some of the changes you guys went through as a married couple?
Yeah. So, you know what? When we first got married, it was great. You know, we were like doing ministry, and I even remember our pastor bringing us up in front of the church and telling our church that this was like a match made in heaven, you know, and like, I'll never forget those words, because fast forward 6 months, it was like a match made in hell for sure.
Right.
And so it was so funny. I look back on those words, which now seem to be true in my heart. But it was so funny because it started out so good. And then what happened was we got in our first big, after you get married, you always have that first blowout, you know, that one where like the gloves come off and you say all the things you wanted to say for like the last, you know, 7 years. And we had one of those, and I saw a side to him that I had never seen, which was anger, just a dark side of him, you know, that I'd never seen that in anyone before.
Yeah.
And it shocked me, and I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, like I hope that never happens again, which it totally did. And I remember thinking like anger outbursts and things, and those got progressively like worse over the years, but this was more just like a shock, right? And I think that first marriage argument is always a big shock, but I just remember thinking like, this is different than what I thought, you know. And that kind of evolved into what I really like became a broken marriage. And we got pregnant right away with our daughter Bella, who's such a blessing, so amazing. And I remember having her, and we were in the hospital and we were going home, and we got in the car and Mike just started weeping. And I remember like thinking, this should be the happiest time of our life. And I just really felt like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a rough ride. And it was.
Yeah.
And I mean, we have a lot of good memories. But we're here to talk about, you know, the things that you've kind of overcome. And so that's when I realized like, oh my goodness, this is going to be harder than I thought. This is going to be different than what I thought. And I think it was my first reality that we were two very broken people trying to make a life together.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the beginning of that journey. So that was the beginning of that journey, and kind of what led to a chain reaction of events.
So after that, what did you kind of feel like? Where did you kind of feel like your heart was? Like, where is it more like, okay, God, like, obviously, like, I'm going to stick this out? Or like, how did that process, where did, you know, your marriage kind of go from that moment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we had Bella, and, I think what happens is after you have a child, you really become face to face with all the things from your childhood. Yeah. It really puts a magnifying glass, like you kind of see the world through your kids, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And like, I remember having even good things, not just bad things. So, I mean, I remember having memories. I don't think I would have ever even recalled had I not had Bella. Good stuff. But it also brings up the bad stuff, yucky stuff. And so you can tell I'm a homeschool mom. I just use the word yucky. So I remember in that time thinking like, we have a lot of, I just knew that like our marriage like wasn't normal. Like it wasn't what I heard people talk about. Now I realize that a lot more marriages are like that than people want to admit. But it just wasn't what I read in the Christian books. It wasn't anything like that. Like, and I had to really go on a journey. I remember really questioning the Lord, like, God, what did I do? Like, you know, here I did what all these Christian dating books told me to do. I saved myself for marriage. I did, you know, I honored the Lord. I did all these things. And here I am, like, with this broken marriage and this broken man. And I don't know what, and I'm broken. And I have a kid. And, but I also remember feeling like, I am not giving up on this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not. And I didn't even understand. I mean, I didn't really, if I would have known at that time I was going to have 6 more years of drama and issues and things to unfold, like, I don't know that I would have had the wherewithal to stick it out. But something in me was like, dig your freaking heels in. Mm-hmm. Like, you are going to make it.
Yeah.
And I come from a long lineage of long marriages. People in my family just don't get divorced, and I'm so thankful, you know, because mm-hmm. it isn't all roses and happy-go-lucky. Like, it's work, and, you know, I probably had reasons where we could have walked away, and we could have called it quits, but we just, like, I just remember very early on thinking, like, I'll die before this marriage, like, is over.
Yeah.
So that's where my head was at.
Yeah, and then where did you feel like, you know, as going through, you said 6 years, how did you, I mean, what was the actual actions of, like, wow, I went through, you know, 6 years of really hard things. I mean, and if you want to share those, you can, but, like, even just saying, like, you know, what were the actual steps of, like, it's easier to say, I'm not going to do this for 6 years, but then when you're in it, you kind of have to, you know, you have no choice. So what did that look like for you?
Yeah, well, very early on in my marriage, God gave me a vision. I'm going all the way there.
Go for
okay?
it.
I'm going all the way there. Some of the stuff I don't even think I've ever said publicly, but I remember very early on in my marriage, I had a vision. I didn't know what modern church looked like. Like, we went to a church that had windows, light, like, lights were on. You know,
right.
Like, there were, church did not look then what it looks like now.
Yeah.
Or at least not that I knew of that existed. And I had a vision of Michael and I thought it was a ministry, but now standing in my destiny, living in my purpose, I had a dream of what we're living today.
Wow.
And I remember seeing us happy, seeing us healed, seeing us laughing. Like, in the dream, it was so tangible. We were in an urban environment, and we were having what I know now is church, and there were people praying for us. And I woke up from that dream, and I said, you know, Mike, I think, have you ever thought about starting, like, a church at some point? And at this point, we were a wreck, so to even talk like that was like a joke, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, when I was younger, I kind of thought about something like that. And that vision in my heart really sealed everything that I went through. I just kept going back to that. And I had another vision. I've had two distinct ones in my life. And I'll share that other one in a second. But that particular vision is what really kept me going. And so what happened was, we had a miscarriage. When Bella was like 2 or 3 or, you know, she was little, and she's 12 now. And after that miscarriage, it really broke us. Like, we were so upset. I don't think either one of us had experienced a loss quite like that. Neither of our parents had died at that point. And it just was like raw, and we didn't understand each other. We didn't understand how to help each other grieve. We didn't talk about it with anybody. And it really started a chain reaction. That's when alcohol really entered the picture of our marriage. Mm-hmm. And there was, you know, some, like, Mike was, at this point, I don't know that he was necessarily an alcoholic, but definitely using it as a numbing, as a coping mechanism. And, at this point, we were kind of phasing out of ministry. Our church at that time was going through some really hard, heartbreaking things. And so we were transitioning out of there. And so we had no spiritual support at that time, because we were in between churches. You know, my husband is using, like, alcohol as a coping mechanism. I have completely shut down. And so you can only imagine the issues that evolved from that point.
Yeah.
And so really that miscarriage was kind of the impetus. I think we would have went through those things no matter what, but sometimes there's a catalyst, you know?
Yeah.
And it was really you know, a catalyst that the enemy used, you know, to bring a lot of destruction into our home. And at that point, shortly thereafter, Michael and I separated. And I just was done. Like, I was over it. And I just felt like there were some deal breakers in our marriage. And very openly about those. You can reference the Married Life podcast for our story and plates, throwings, and all those things. We broke a lot of dishes, Autumn.
Yes.
It kind of evolved from there. And then, so we separate for almost a year. And then out of God's mercy, we reconciled our marriage. And that was one of the hardest, one of the most challenging times in my whole life was working through a marriage reconciliation. And for those who are listening and you've worked through one of those, you already know, like, it is intense. And you want to place the blame so bad in a marriage, but if you work through it the right way, you have to actually look in the mirror. This is something we learned in marriage counseling. You have to look in the mirror and look at the things in you that contributed to this situation and not be a blamer and accept a responsibility. And it was one of the worst experiences and one of the best experiences in our whole life.
Yeah.
It was crazy, but it was good.
And how did you even get to that point where you were like, because I feel like, okay, a couple months, like, okay, we could get back together or whatever, you know, but like a year, like that's a long time. That's kind of almost like being like, okay, we really are done. You know what I'm saying? So how did you get to the point after like almost a year being like, okay, let's try this again?
Yeah. So I, you know, and I had actually, somebody had given me, the information to a divorce attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having it in my wallet for a long time and just like not ready to accept that it was that easy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, like for some people that is the right move. I know that's not a popular message, but if you're living in abuse, if you're living in the holds of addiction of a spouse who doesn't want to change and you're in fear of your safety, if you're in fear of you know, an addict, I mean, they'll do anything to get what they need. And so you have, for some people, if you have somebody who's not willing to change, you know, that may be the right next step. But for me, and I can only talk for me and my story, I just held on to the vision that God gave me. And I saw that picture of us in ministry. And then shortly after, I had this other vision, and God doesn't speak to me in visions a lot, so when I have them, I know that they're from God. And this was one of me and Mike just sitting in the kitchen drinking coffee cups drinking out of red coffee cups in this room that had like blue walls, and it was so normal. It was like the most normal thing, and that was not our reality. Like, we weren't normal. We couldn't even spend 2 seconds in a room without fighting or, you know, being mean or whatever. And I remember looking at that divorce card and remembering the vision that God gave me and was like, I'm not ready to use this. But at the same time, I had a spouse that was unwilling to reconcile. And a part of me is like, okay, a year's gone by, like, I've got to move on, you know, like I can't just keep doing this. And the day that I went, that I left a message for the divorce attorney was the day that Michael texted me and said, all right, I'm ready to turn the page. Let's work on this. And, so God couldn't have worked that out any better because I was at the end of my rope, but God was like just getting started with what he was going to do. So kind of a miraculous story there.
Yeah. Heck yeah. And like I said before, you know, I've had podcasts where, you know, a lot of these women like go through really hard things, and like divorce genuinely is their option. Again, not to say that that's right or wrong or anything like that, but sometimes the stories are just different for people. So I love that, like, you're on the podcast saying like, man, like for me, you know, we actually got through that, because that's even sometimes harder, you know, like to go back to something, you know.
Yeah.
It's totally hell. Harder. Yeah.
It's awful. I mean, you feel like you are dying. And that's what I think. Here's the thing. The body goes into, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a whatever. But, like, I know I've done some research at how the body, like, heals itself. And the initial response is, like, tense up and don't surrender to the pain because you want to save yourself hurt.
Yeah.
And I think when we go through trauma, our first instinct is, like, get out of this situation as fast as possible because healing is painful.
Yeah.
And I am so thankful that I had a spouse that was committed to saying, like, this is going to hurt like heck, but my God, let's go through it together. Like, it's worth it. And again, that's not everybody's story, but I had a spouse who was willing to change. And I feel like, man, if you have a spouse that's willing to jump in there with you, do everything it takes, because at the end of the day, you want to look at your kids and say, I did everything I could.
Well, you know? That's what I was going to kind of ask you next. Like, when you guys did get back together, how did that look for, like, the alcoholism and all that kind of stuff? Like, where did that go?
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, and anybody who's lived with somebody with addiction can tell you, like, sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. Sometimes it gets better and it gets worse. And we had a situation where, you know, it got better for a while and then it got worse. We had God redeemed our story. We got back into ministry. And then what happened was we had kind of a toxic situation. We did a move across country, and in that situation, it brought up a lot of, like, things that Mike had to work through and that I had to work through. And so that alcoholism kind of went back to the surface, and, you know, we had to deal with that. But so it did come up again, but I had that vision that God gave me, and I just refused to let it go. And I was like, we're doing this. Like, I see our purpose. At that time, we probably had $4 in our bank account and a bunch of cuss words that we were saying at each other. Mm-hmm. But we were so committed to working it out, even through the yuck, you know?
Yeah.
And so it wasn't pretty. I'm not going to paint this picture like, yeah, we reconciled and he never drank again. That was not our reality.
Yeah.
The reality is he did. But once he faced it that final time, it has never, ever surfaced in our marriage. Mm-hmm. It's never surfaced in our home. And I truly believe that my husband is free, whole. Like, he will never, ever go back. I honestly, earnestly believe that. And I just want to encourage people who are listening, who are, you know, maybe you're separated from someone right now, your spouse, and they're dealing with addiction. Like, believe God can do the impossible. Like, go to counseling, take care of yourself. Like, don't put yourself in a crazy situation, but you don't have to give up hope either. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad I didn't. And everyone thought I was crazy. Like, everyone was like, this is crazy. Like, what are you doing? But I just surrounded myself with people who were for my husband, for my marriage. And I went all in on it.
No, I love that. And I love that you actually even shared that, you know, it did come up again. Because sometimes when we go through stuff, I feel like even as Christians, we kind of play out this story of, like, I got saved and nothing ever happened. You know what I'm saying? Right. And so I love that you I love that you were like, no, it actually happened again, you know? And sometimes it's again and again and again, but it's like, if you just stay consistent and stay in that, like, trusting God kind of mentality, like, he's going to bring you through it, you know? And so when you moved here, kind of tell us, like, how many years ago that was and kind of where God brought you through and, you know, where you are now. Like, now you're a completely different married couple, you know?
Oh my gosh. It's like, you know, I was telling somebody close to me, was going through a thing, and I was telling them, I was like, our life is so different that I have a hard time rethinking, like, that was my life.
Yeah.
Like, it's so outside of who we are and where we are right now. Like, it's not even, it's just bizarre. It makes me laugh. Like, some of our darkest days, me and Michael have actually just cracked up laughing at, because we're like, it's not even the same person, you know? So fast forward, it's been, I don't know, several years. I mean, this is at least 5 or 6 years at this point since our final, you know, reconciliation, I guess, if you want to call it that. And God accelerated our story. And now we have, fast forward, we have 2 locations in New York. We have a church, V1 Church, 2 locations in New York. We do 3 services a weekend. And our whole family, we do ministry together.
You have another baby.
What did you say?
And you have another baby, Everly.
Yeah, Everly, my littlest. And the funniest thing about our story is we're now the marriage counselors, which if you knew us back then, that's like laughable. You know, we were the worst. And God has really anointed that area of our ministry. And we see so many restored marriages in our church. It's such a blessing. None, I don't take one of them for granted.
Yeah.
And God just uses, he will use your weakest, most embarrassing moment. He will use it. And let me tell you, I was just sharing this with Mike the other day. I said, there's parts of our story that just mortify me. And I wish I didn't have to minister on marriage because my pride, like, rises up. Like, that's not the story that I wanted.
Right.
But you have to embrace whatever story that is being written for you or that you're writing and say, no, this is my testimony. And God is going to use it. And the funny thing about that vision with the coffee cups and the blue walls was right before the last house we lived in before we planted our church, Michael and I were in our kitchen having coffee, and I'm gonna like try not to cry when I talk about this because this for me was like the most restoration moment. But I look up and the walls are the exact same color, and this isn't a house we painted ourselves, this was a house that was just already painted.
Wow.
I look up and the walls were the exact color of what was in my dream, and him and I were drinking out of these like matching like red coffee cups.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like every morning that we drink coffee, I'm like ugly crying over coffee mugs right now. Every morning that we drink coffee, it is a reminder to me that God remembers us, that he sees us, and that he cares about us. And I am so thankful for my husband. I am his biggest cheerleader. And God's just done such a work in my family, and I'm so thankful.
Yeah, and that's like the best story. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, that's a story even for me. I married young, and we've been married almost going on 4 years in September, and so it's like, dang, no matter what, you know, ours isn't even ugly. It's just like the stress of ministry sometimes, but
sure.
Even just going through that, it's just like, man. So, I love doing podcasts on like marriage and like what people have gone through, because marriage is the number one testimony, if you're married, you know, that you're ever going to give, whether it be to people in the church, whether it be to your kids, like that's the testimony, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So
preach that on him.
I love that. And, I love that you took time out to talk to me. So thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, you're welcome. Yeah, I'm not even a crier, but you know what? That particular part of our story is so precious to me, because sometimes you think God is going to give you this vision for your life where you're doing healing crusades and all this stuff, and you know what, God just really wants you to be healed and whole, and that's it. And so to me, that's the greatest miracle.
And both of you now are like on a plane every 3 days traveling and speaking, and it's awesome. Geez. So, man.
It's only God.
Yeah, won't he do it? Won't he do it? So, hit us up with some of your social media so then people can actually follow you, follow Mike, you know, your church, your story.
Yeah. Okay, so our church is at V1 New York. That's our Insta. That's probably the best way to connect with us. My Instagram is at @JulieSignorelli_. And connect with me there. Like, I'm pretty prompt at responses. I try to post regularly.
Your story is always hilarious.
I try to keep it real, you know? I don't want to see the fake stuff. So you will see me with my bags under my eyes and my baby hairs and all that. It's going to happen.
You're the best, Julie. Thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. Love you, Autumn. So proud of you. Proud of you and Dom. Thanks for having me on.